I'd like to read a very well-known passage from the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. But I make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings which I announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I announced to you as the glad tidings, unless indeed ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. It's Easter Sunday today, and a time perhaps where many people around the world will recognize this day as a very important day. The day when the Lord Jesus rose from the grave. I was listening to something on the radio the other day. Christian radio were interviewing passers-by in the streets. And it was very telling that they asked the question, what is the reason for Easter? Why do we celebrate Easter? And only one person out of 10 or so people that they interviewed gave the correct answer, that we remember the moment where the Lord Jesus died and rose again. The cross and the grave are the single most important event in the history of time. The cross and the resurrection are the centerpiece of time itself. This is all of the monumental things that have ever happened. Think of them, the world wars, kings and queens, even the creation of the world itself pales in comparison when you compare it to the magnitude of what was secured for God at the cross. There was never a greater showing of love towards an undeserving party. God loved us when we were unlovable and put that love into action by giving his son to die on that cross. There's that well-known verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You think that cross, that lonely cross at Calvary, was the moment where God was able to pour out his blessing upon us because he poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus. That lonely cross at Calvary. We have that hymn, don't we? 'Tis love displayed by Jesus when alone at Calvary. And then it goes on to say, oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me. That's the way that God designed to bring his lost and sinful creature back to himself. The greatest transaction was paid. God poured out his wrath on the head of his perfect son so that he could bring a lost sinner back to himself. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder if tonight, dear friends, you could make that verse personal. Can you say, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me? The lost, the broken, the burdened, the sinful, all of us have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, to know the peace, to know the joy of leaving your old life behind and starting afresh in newness of life, given a new perspective, a new destination, a new master, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, a new power to live your life entirely for God. Christ Jesus, Paul says, came into the world to save sinners. That's you and me and everybody listening. It says here in our verse in Corinthians, Christ died for our sins. I don't care how bad you've been, or how bad your thoughts are, or what you've said, or anything at all. There is no one too bad for God's love tonight. I don't know what you've done, but I know what He has done. And He says tonight, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise turn away. But you know, without Christ, we're lost. We're lost. Without God, without hope in the world. Maybe tonight, dear friend, you're sitting here and you're listening to this, and maybe you know all about the story of the cross. You know all about the story of the resurrection. Maybe you know all about the doctrines of grace. Maybe you've convinced others, and maybe even yourself, that you're a Christian. Your parents are, your grandparents are, everyone in your family is. You go to church, you go to the meetings, maybe you even take part and you look the part and you act the part and you say all the right words in the right time and you get lots of amens and you stand up to pray, or you're looked up to as a role model in Christian circles. But you've never once had a personal transaction with Jesus. Dear friend, tonight this message is for you as well. This message is for every single person. Come to Christ tonight. Without Christ, dear friend, without God, you have no hope. But the Bible, as Paul says in our passage here, according to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and He was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. Dear friend, the Bible, God's very word to us, makes it clear that the opportunity tonight is that you have this wonderful gift being presented to you in the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Dear friend, if you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you can say, Christ died for my sins. Oh, dear friend, what an opportunity you have tonight. And the reason, dear friend, that Christ had to die was because of our sins. It says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, dear friend, we're all infected by this disease called sin. And it's much, much, much worse and much more serious than the disease that we're currently suffering from in this country, as bad as it is. Dear friend, sin is a disease and a curse that separates us from God, causes us pain, causes us misery, and ultimately death. Romans says the wages of sin is death. It's inescapable. We are controlled by sin, whether we realize it or not. Now you might try and be good. Have you ever tried that? The children of Israel tried that when they were given the Ten Commandments. They said, all this we will do. You know, my children here, they try and promise me, they often promise me that they'll be good, usually in order to get something. They'll say, oh yes, I promise I'll be good. And how long does it last? Moments. And you know, God finds our hearts the same. It says in Genesis, Jehovah saw the wickedness of man was great, and the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. Dear friend, there's nothing in your heart for God. We're totally consumed by sin, and because of that, we are at a distance from God. We can't enter heaven. We can't enjoy the blessing and the joy that God wants us to enjoy, because we're totally entrenched, enslaved by sin, and most of us don't even realize it. But dear friend, that's why the cross happens. That's why the cross had to happen, dear friend. The Son is able to set us free. And as it says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. The cross had to happen, dear friend, because God saw us in our sinful state and he didn't ignore it. You see, God can't ignore sin. God is a holy God and a righteous God, and he can't just look at sin and ignore it. But everything that he's done, dear friend, he's brought it before him. He's brought the object of sin before him, and it's received the condemnation it deserves. Jesus was made sin and bore the judgment of God, so that God tonight can come out towards you in blessing. Without that death, without that blood being shed, there is no salvation. There is no way to God except through the person of Christ. It's that wonderful verse in Romans. God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. By having faith in that blood and that finished work on that cross, we can see our sins are gone, borne in their entirety by Jesus, never to be brought up again. Friend, tonight, if you repent, that means to turn away from your life of sin in the power of the Holy Spirit and look in faith at that cross and the man dying on that cross. Realize that God has given everything to secure you for himself. Think of that love, dear friend. Love that sought you out tonight. Love that made you tune in to hear this gospel tonight. Love that gave you absolutely everything so that you can come into blessing. God's unspeakable free gift. While we were yet sinners, you see, you and I don't deserve it. That's grace. God commends his love to us. He wants us. He desires all men to be saved. He desires that you tonight, you listening to this, maybe you think you're insignificant. Only one of 7 billion people on this planet. But dear friend, tonight, God is interested in you. He gave his son for you. Well, there's another hymn in our hymn book that we sometimes sing. For me, thou once was numbered with the dead. For me, O Lord, for me. You see Christ hanging there where you should have been, dying the death that was yours by right. Your old life, dear friend, ends here, and your new one begins when you see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, bearing the punishment that should have been yours, dying in your place, so that you tonight, dear friend, can come in blessing. And you tonight, dear friend, can come and enjoy everything that God wants you to enjoy. A home in heaven, a hope, peace, joy, the Spirit dwelling inside of you, a new life, a new perspective, a new destiny. Oh, dear friend, he wants to give you all that. He's done everything. And all that needs to happen now is that you turn in repentance and you turn in faith to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. Watchman Nee said, our old history ends with the cross, and our new history begins with the resurrection. You see, those two things go together. The cross and the resurrection, I said at the start, they are the single most important event. Those two things have to go together. They're one event, the cross and the resurrection. You can't have one without the other. And the resurrection is the culmination of God being happy and satisfied with the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on that cross. It testified that God was pleased with the sacrifice that Christ made for our sins when he shed his blood for us, when he took our place, when he became our substitute and our sacrifice. And God could look at that sweet smelling savour, and God could say that he was satisfied, and he proved he was satisfied, because he rose by the glory of the Father, that Christ was raised from the dead. God declared, I accept what my Son has done. And from this moment on, sinners who have believed in him are justified, they're forgiven, and they are saved. Romans says he was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. It's the proof, dear friend, that we have God's guarantee that when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, that our sins are dealt with forever. God raised him from the dead. He's risen. He's alive. There's that wonderful passage, isn't there, in the Gospels, where the angel says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. Where is Jesus now? He's in heaven, seated at the Father's right hand. He's in heaven. He's no longer in the grave. He is risen. He is alive. And my old life, because I know I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Saviour, and many listening do as well, and I know my old life, the way I used to be, my old way of living, is dead and buried with him. And now I live a new life, a new creation. For ye have died, it says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Dear friend, if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, come to know him tonight. Go back to our verses in Corinthians. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. The Lord Jesus Christ really died, dear friend. The Gospels are very clear. He died. And then what does Paul go on to say? He was raised the third day. He's alive. And because he lives, he's coming back soon. Because he lives, he is somebody that is not, we don't just as a Christian have rules and regulations and doctrines to follow. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is about a person, because we know Christ is alive. Everything hinges on the fact that Jesus was risen from the grave. A lot of the chapter 15 in Corinthians talks about the importance of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Paul says, we're the most miserable of men. Without the resurrection, Paul says, there's no point believing. But because Christ is alive, dear friend, there is a point. There is a reality to our faith. Jesus is alive. And dear friend, if you come to know him tonight as your personal Saviour, if you turn in repentance, you look at your life and you realise you haven't come up to the mark that God requires. If you look at your life and you realise that you've been well, well short of what God has set out as his perfect standard, dear friend, tonight the opportunity is there for you so that you can come to know him as your personal Saviour and your sins are wiped clean and you can start afresh. And you can start afresh not to go back living the way you used to live, but you're given the Holy Spirit and you're given the power within you so that you can overcome your old temptations, so that you don't slip back into your old sins. You're given, dear friend, an entirely new life, a life that is lived in the power of Christ because he lives. Oh, dear friend, you're given a hope as well. A hope that, dear friend, one day you will see your Saviour face to face. The fact he's alive means that he's living at the moment and he's coming back to collect all those that belong to him. The fact he's alive means that even at this really difficult time that we're living in at the moment, he's able to be there as a sympathetic high priest, because he's been to this earth. He's seen the diseases. He's seen the death. He's seen the sorrow. He's seen the difficulties. He's lived through 33 years of living on this earth, and he understands our weakness, and he understands the problems that we face. Dear friend, I don't know what you're going through at the moment, but God's not being caught out by the situation that we find ourselves in. The Lord Jesus Christ still upholds all things through the words of his power. God is still sovereign. He's still on that throne. You know, it's really hard at the moment that we can't meet together with other Christians. But one day, dear believer, we shall all be caught up in the air, and multitudes and multitudes of believers will spend eternity worshipping Christ. Honestly, we have no idea of the magnitude, the numbers of those that are sheltering under the blood. So, dear friend, tonight, first of all, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it is your opportunity, it is your time now to come to know him. This Christ, as Paul says, that died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. These glad tidings which Paul announced to the Corinthians, the same glad tidings that have been going on for 2,000 years, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and is alive. He was raised the third day. Dear friend, I want you to come to know him tonight as your personal Saviour. I want you to come to know him tonight as the one who is the only one qualified to take away your sins and your burden, so that you can enjoy everything that God wants to give you tonight. And dear friend, that opportunity is available now. We live in a time where you log on to the BBC website, or you look at the newspapers, and every single day there's a brand new three-digit number, the amount of people that have passed from time to eternity. And dear friend, we don't know how long we've got left on this earth, but you have now. You have the opportunity now to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear believer, if you've known the Lord Jesus Christ for however long you've known him, we have somebody who's not left us here on this earth to find our own way through. It's really difficult at the moment. This is a really difficult, relatively difficult moment that we have here in our lives. But we have a never failing friend. We have a shepherd. We have a guide. We have somebody who has promised, I will not leave thee, neither will I forsake thee. It's a well-known phrase, isn't it, that he's an all-the-way-home saviour. He's not somebody that just we can get saved and that's it. Christianity is a life lived for God. And dear friend, that journey for you can start tonight. But for those of you that are already saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to draw near to you tonight. You can know the warmth and the love of that heart that once gave itself for you. And you can know him tonight as your shepherd and your friend and your guide. He will not let you down. He will not leave you. He's here for all time, he's with you, and he will not let you down. And dear friend, one day we will see the face of that man, face to face. The most familiar face in the whole wide world, and the most familiar voice in the whole wide world, when we finally see our Saviour face to face. But until that moment, dear friend, he's there, he's standing with you, as a shepherd and a friend and a guide. Dear friend, tonight, I pray that you come to know him, first of all, as your Saviour. Dear believer tonight, I pray that you'll be strengthened and you'll be encouraged as we go forward through this really difficult moment. For his name's sake.